But what it is something true made up of these three words that I must say to you. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care.
The tragedy is fact, not fiction.
I love my wife. Why would I do a thing like that?
The stories are about love gone wrong.
Oh, come on, Harry. What about you and that slut you're living with?
Now, peek in on the new divorce court and see why the other half can't possibly live together. Divorce court, in session weekdays at 4:30, only on Channel 7.
It's lies. It's all lies. You're up.
This is It Happened One Year, a look back at the events, big and small, famed and forgotten from
1984.
Hey, everybody. We're doing it again. It happened one year, 1984.
Here we are.
Sipping margaritas to start the show. I was like, do you want to start the show? She was like, yeah, and then just start sipping. So that's in there.
It's delicious.
Here we are. We're doing it again.
We are.
It's Friday, so yep. You never know what it's going to be like. It's always an adventure on Friday.
Yeah.
And Sarah's drinking margaritas. Usually Sarah will have a little martini.
Maybe.
Be a little classy.
Yep.
But she's already been drinking margaritas today.
Okay, I had one margarita.
So I wanted to like whisper to the listeners like, Sarah's drunk.
No, I'm not.
Don't tell her that you've let on. But she's not actually that drunk.
No.
I mean, drunk enough to get through this story. Here we are, season three. The love episode.
The love episode.
We didn't do a love episode in season two for some reason.
Well, I think season two is just the season of love.
Oh, because it was the summer of love and all that. Yeah,
summer of love. Season of love is Rent. Summer
That's
of love.
Seasons of love. That's true. But back in season one, if you go back, I want to say it's like the second or third episode of the show
is right
the love episode. And in that one, we covered a variety of love topics. We did like marriages and divorces, but we also did like love gone astray. Didn't we do like... murderers?
Did we?
Or like something? Didn't we do the guy with the shoes? The shoe fetish guy?
Oh,
with,
I feel like, was that the love episode? We did.
Was that a separate? I think that was part of the love. That love episode was a huge episode.
Yeah.
Because it was early days. We didn't know what we were doing.
No. And now we've got it figured out.
Yeah, we got it all figured out.
Yeah, no problem.
That being said, this is the second time we're doing this episode. So not to ruin the illusion, peek too far behind the curtain, but it's always kind of occurred to me that Sarah and I get along so well.
Okay.
And I'm not overselling this.
Yeah,
I think we really do get along really well.
Yeah.
But I was always kind of curious what would happen if we're recording the show and we just like sort of didn't get along. And that's what happened the first time we did the love episode.
So we were doing the love episode.
Yeah.
But apparently I was shouting.
Yeah.
And Joe...
I tried to course correct Sarah's shouting to be like, because I'm going to have to like readjust all of this volume.
I was really excited.
But Sarah did not take that well. And I clearly didn't present it correctly.
Yeah.
But we were like had done 15 minutes of this episode.
And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
And then I was like, so what if you were just a little quieter? She's like, well, you know what? I don't want to do it anymore. And that was it for that show. So 2 months ago, we tried to do this episode. Today, we're going to try again.
Yeah.
And Sarah can be as loud as she wants.
Oh, thank you.
Sarah, you can always be as loud as you want.
Also, please give me your coaching on my volume.
No, take up all the space you want. If anything, you are the key member of the show. 55% of the show's success is based on you.
Why do I get...
It's the majority.
Oh.
Yeah. And it means only 10%. The rest is luck.
That is completely inaccurate.
Sheer luck. But like, we didn't fight. It was just that like it was clearly too tense. And it was just like, we couldn't continue. So we stopped. And it just coincidentally was the love episode, which we were recording around our anniversary, I want to say.
Yeah, probably around there somewhere.
Because it was right around the beginning of December.
We were just grumpy. It was going into the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bad time for everybody.
Yeah.
So let's try it again.
Much better moods now, I'd say.
Well, you've had those margaritas.
I've had one margarita.
Uh-oh. We might be calling it early again tonight.
You shut your... No.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So what we want... We don't have any big crazy love stories to talk about this time like we did last time, if I remember that episode correctly. No weird crimes or weird passion-related things.
No one's
things.
Having a relationship with a shoe, unlike
right,
the last time.
Right. So I think this time it's a more straightforward... These are people that were married, and these are some people that got divorced.
Yeah.
And I think 84 has some interesting pieces to that. And some, like, famous marriages and famous things. And I was like, that's always a nice thing to talk about.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago, right?
40 like, years ago, yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. So we were going to start with, I took the marriage side of this and Sarah took the divorce side of
this. Sure did.
Just for a way to split it up.
Yep.
And I've got some, like, main big deal marriages to talk about, but we're going to save those to the end so we can, but we don't have to end with divorce. Because Sarah's logic was very much, let's start with love, end with love.
Start with love, end with love.
And I think that's a pretty good logic.
That's actually the signature on my email at work.
That's your auto signature?
Yep.
My auto signature used to be all one and done. Because I wanted to do things once.
Yes.
And then I left that job. Yeah. So that was, not great. But I got to start on a down note because I have notes about stuff. But today, not to date when this is, 'cause I don't know when this episode might come out.
Yeah.
But we found out today that Carl Weathers died, which is devastating.
Awful.
I'm wearing my Apollo Creed t-shirt as we speak.
Yes.
I love me some Carl Weathers. But Carl Weathers was actually married. His second marriage was in 1984.
Aww.
And he was married for like 22 years at that point. He was married to a woman named Rona. 1984 to 2006. But we lost Carl Weathers today. It is not a good day.
No.
It's not a good thing.
Joe started listing the movies that we could watch tonight to celebrate Carl Weathers, and I don't want to watch any of those movies. But
I only mentioned Rocky 3, 4, and 1.
Yeah.
But we could watch Happy Gilmore. He's in Happy Gilmore.
We should watch all of Arrested Development.
We could watch all the Arrested Development
that he was so in. Great on Arrested Development.
Carl Weathers is good in everything. But Apollo Creed. Action Jackson. That was an action movie that he made in the 80s. Predator. Apollo Creed.
Oh, my
Carl
God.
Weathers is good. So we'll start on the down note.
Yeah.
But really, we're just going to rattle through a lot of this because I know Sarah doesn't like when I just list stuff.
No, I love it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
She's trying to butter me up because the episode went so bad last time. Also, she's had a couple margaritas.
I've had one margarita.
So it's weird because we've already done this, even if it was 2 months ago, but I do feel like there's sort of bits we're going to redo. I was surprised to find that Linda Carter married Robert Altman until I realized it wasn't the same guy. It's a different Robert Altman married Wonder Woman Linda Carter in 1984.
The benefit is my memory is terrible, so
I didn't remember these things. They were married in 1984.
That would have been amazing if that was the same Robert Altman.
Right? Because I feel like I would have run across that at some point.
Yeah. I love that combo.
Yeah, even though he was much older than her, that still would have been like, good for Robert Altman. Marrying Wonder Woman.
Like, really weird Hollywood couples are amusing to me. Like, was it Harrison Ford married Ally McBeal?
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Peculiar,
It's wonderful.
Yeah. You want to talk about weird Hollywood couples? Yeah. How about Elton John married a woman named Renate Blauwe?
Uh-oh.
They were married for 4 years. Why is that weird? Because she's a woman. So that didn't work out, as you can imagine.
Nope.
Andrew Lloyd Webber married Sarah Brightman, which I didn't even realize until we were preparing for this episode.
Yeah.
Because she was in Phantom of the Opera, but she's much younger than him.
Is she?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And they were married for like 6 years.
Oh.
But like, I knew her name. I can't pick her out of lineup, but I knew her
name.
She
was like the original Christine, wasn't she?
I think so, right? And then 84, that more or less makes sense, right?
Makes
Phantom was around then.
I think so.
So that's something.
These are all imprecise facts.
Yeah
that
we're just
right.
kind of swinging, you know.
Sounds good.
Janet Jackson was married to James DeBarge from the band DeBarge. Less than a year.
What?
Yeah.
What is the band DeBarge?
You never heard of DeBarge?
I've never heard of DeBarge.
they were like an R&B group, DeBarge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sounds funnier every time you say it.
Oh, DeBarge? You would know DeBarge songs if you heard them.
Oh.
I think. Well, you know, we'll slap a DeBarge song in here and now pretend like you just recognized it.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Perfect. Chrissy Hynde married the lead singer of Simple Minds, Jim Kerr. They were married for 6 years.
There's a band called Simple Minds?
Oh, come on.
No.
You know Simple Minds?
No, I don't.
Are you just, no, you're just, you've blocked out all, this is a show about 1984.
I don't remember any of this. Who is Simple Minds? Who
they had songs you would know.
Would they?
Simple Minds sang, did they sing Everybody Wants to Rule the World? Was that Simple Minds?
Could have been.
Somebody like that. Don't look it up. I'll look it up. Just guess. Do you have any idea?
I thought that was Talking Heads.
Oh, that might have been Talking Heads. Simple Minds sang, and if they did sing that, they sang "Don't You Forget About Me." You
know, really?
Yeah, that was Simple Minds. They had a lot of hits, but that was their big hit.
Calling them a one-hit wonder would be inaccurate.
No, they had other hits. Oh. I mean, they were a band in the 80s. Sure. I don't know what they're doing these days.
Could go on together with Simple Minds.
Yes, they're named after the misheard part of that Elvis lyric.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, she married a guy from Simple Minds.
All right.
So that was something. Everybody's favorite lifeguard, the Hoff.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff was married to a woman named Catherine Hicklin for 5 years. She was an actress.
Oh.
They were married for a couple years. I think she was on the TV show Texas.
Sure.
So that's something.
Wait, there's a show just called Texas?
Yeah, it was, I think, after Dallas. But it was around the same time. It was just a spinoff.
Wait, was it really a spinoff of Dallas?
No, but I don't think so. But I think they were right around the same time. I think they were kind of the same show.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just one of those things.
Yeah,
it was like how NCIS and CSI, and they all came out at the same time.
Yeah, they had a ranch. It wasn't in any major city.
Right, it's just in Texas. Yeah. So
that's one of the things that I like really remember from driving. We did this road trip and we drove through Texas. You would be driving down just like an empty highway and there'd just be like a metal arch with a gate on it that had a ranch's name.
Yeah.
No one to be found, no animals to be found.
Yeah.
But this was the entrance.
They just wanted to define that as where you should come in.
Yeah.
Don't just start driving across the field.
Right.
Here's the entrance.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was a lot of that in Texas, I was surprised. Texas and I believe we drove through part of Oklahoma was like that too.
Yeah.
On the big road trip. Did we drive through Oklahoma? We must have, right?
Yeah.
I can't really remember.
I think
it's
we drove
right above
through
that.
through the handle, the panhandle.
Yeah, that would make sense. 50-year-old Frankie Valli married 24-year-old Randy Clohussy.
Her name was Clohussy?
It's like C-L-O-H-U-S-S-Y, I think. Mm-hmm. They were married for 20 years, Clohussy. Though, so even at 24, she stuck with him until she was 44, and he was 70.
He really nabbed that Clohussy.
Can I even use this?
Yes.
Yeah, it's gross. That's Bette Midler married Martin Van Hasselberg, who was like a performance artist.
Oh.
I can't remember. He was in like a pair. Like it was like him and like another guy. And they did. And they popped up in movies and stuff.
I thought you meant he was a mime. Because they often work with pairs. P-E-A-Rs.
Oh, no. It was him and another guy. I can't remember their name. But like they were in like UHF, which I covered over on Recon Cinemation. but they would pop up in a couple of things doing kind of wacky comedy stuff. But they're still married to this day.
Oh, good for
Bette
them.
Midler. You never hear of Bette Midler's husband.
No.
He's got his own thing.
Like Dolly Parton.
Right, exactly. Same deal. Yeah. Just some guy. And I believe how we wrap this up, and I realize lately on the show, if these are in any sort of order, I feel like I've been mentioning wrestling a lot lately.
You have.
And I don't want to keep going down this road, because this is,
Sure.
I don't know anything. This is just from this one period of time.
Sounds like you know a lot.
But as for to wrap up my part of the random marriages, any wrestling fan of the 80s will immediately relate to this. The Macho Man Randy Savage married Miss Elizabeth in 1984.
Sure.
She was like his, like, in-ring valet person, right? And then she died relatively young from mayhem. But like there was in the 80s, like that was like a big deal. Because there really weren't a lot of like she wasn't a wrestler. She was just like a like woman who wore dresses who hung out with Randy Savage because they were married. And that was how that worked.
You know how like E paid for all of the Kardashians' weddings so they could film them?
Yeah.
Do you think Macho Man Randy Savage's wedding was sponsored by Slim Jim? Do they all wear like Slim Jim colored tuxes?
Yeah.
With like plastic hats.
Yeah.
That kind of peeled back at the top.
Sure. Yeah.
Top hats that look like Slim Jims.
Yeah. I think there was that. Instead of a ring pop, it was just a Slim Jim. You just peeled it.
Yeah.
And you can eat it right off your finger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know why that marriage didn't work out. It sounds like off to a great start. So those were the random marriages I had from 1984. What sticks out for you there?
Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Great.
Well, love is great. Mm. Doesn't always last.
Mm.
So 1984 brought
the heck you say?
Joy to a lot of people, and it also brought sadness or maybe joy, depending on how these marriages were, to some more people.
I think usually divorce is a positive thing, right? These people shouldn't still be together.
Maybe not for everybody. Not I don't know.
For people who want to have divorces.
Yeah. Yeah. For the person who's initiating good, person who not probably bad.
The person getting blindsided by divorce.
Yes. I've never been divorced, so I don't know what that's like.
That seems like a good Lifetime movie, though. Blindsided by divorce. I think that would be pretty good. And it's like, you know, I don't know, like Mary Lou Henner's in it, maybe.
I think we could call it Blindsided by Divorce, the Maggie Johnson story.
Maggie Johnson?
Because in 1984, she got a divorce from her husband of 31 years.
Are these just people?
No.
Oh.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
Heard of him.
Clint had enough.
Yeah, they got married in 1953. They got divorced in 1984.
Oh, well, she was in there for like the whole rise of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, she was in there for a long time. Now, they got married not long after they met, but between the time that they met and got married, he fathered a child with someone else.
Oh, shit.
Whoops.
Not good.
He did that again in 1964.
This was just something he was up
to. Apparently he had many affairs, and at some point, I don't know if he wanted out or she wanted, I don't know what happened, but ended up not working out. But they live like down the street from each other. They still celebrate Christmas together.
To this day.
To this day.
Did he ever remarry? He was with Francis Fisher for a while.
I don't know if he ever remarried.
Nah, I don't actually know Clint's life.
I think he did, but yeah. I read the Wikipedia page 2 months ago when we tried to do this show.
So you decided not to refresh on any of this. Good. Yeah.
I have my notes, but I didn't take notes on whether or not he remarried.
Oh. We all get a kick out of watching Clint.
We do.
Yeah.
Although I think there were some things in there. Maggie, not a fan.
Sure.
I would say she did not get a kick out of that.
Probably that time when he was just yelling at that chair. Not Clint's very smart. Yeah.
All right. But speaking of other people who had many affairs.
Ooh.
Margie Willett, in 1948, married America's sweetheart, Dick Van Dyke.
Oh.
Unfortunately, he had an affair with his agent's secretary. He didn't have many affairs. I don't want to like Dick, but he did have an affair.
With his agent's secretary.
With his agent's secretary.
Whoa.
And so Dick and Margie got divorced in 1984.
Wow. Like 36 years later.
36 years later. That's a very long time. But they got married. Him and the agent's secretary.
Oh.
Whose name I did not write down.
Okay.
Sorry, Mrs. Van Dyke.
Sorry to that man.
But they stayed married until she died, 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Dick Van Dyke, loyal guy, except for that one time.
Well, he was just trading off. I mean, you know. Could you real quick roll out your Dick Van Dyke impression? It's one of the five impressions you do.
And I can only say one thing, and that is Mary Poppins.
Wonderful.
That's it.
Your accent game, top notch.
It's weak.
Yeah.
It's when he's drawing chalk. There's a specific moment.
Yeah.
It's when he's drawing chalk. He's all like, tuppins, tuppins. I don't remember what song he's singing. It's about wind and that song.
Okay, the wind song.
The wind song. And he's drawing on the sidewalk, and then her shadow comes up over, and he traces it, and he looks up, and he goes, Mary Poppins! He gets very excited to see
her. Sure.
That's my Dick Van Dyke impression.
They're very good. All right.
So those are two old dudes, married for a long time, cheated on their wives, got divorced in 1984.
Okay.
I'm going to flip through some people who divorced just absolute nobodies in 1984.
Wow. So we're just slamming these poor people who were in it for love, married celebrities, who probably traded up to other celebrities.
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. And so much so that I didn't write down most of their spouses' names.
Oh,
so
boy.
Apologies. But I think some of these people we know married other people.
Okay.
So we're going to turn this into a quiz for Joe.
Oh, okay.
These people divorced nobodies in 1984.
Yeah.
Did they marry another celebrity?
Oh.
I don't have the answers.
I'll give it a shot. That's not really my wheelhouse.
You're right.
Yeah.
1984.
Yeah.
A little actor, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So, unless I'm completely mistaken, when we did this in the first season,
That
was Van Damme, I believe, was named MVP of the love episode because he got married for like the fifth time.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Yeah. Or the fourth or fifth time?
Yes, I forgot about that.
I don't know if he's ever married anybody famous.
Yeah.
But he has remarried many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one time he wrapped one up in 84.
JCVD.
JCVD.
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard of her. Aretha Franklin.
Ooh.
Divorced in 1984.
Did not get enough respect. I don't know if she... I couldn't tell you what Aretha's deal was. I assume she got remarried. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, good.
She would have been relatively young in 1984.
Yeah.
Relatively.
She lived until like 20...
Recent years.
19 or something.
Yeah.
I made that up.
I mean, but she was probably 40-ish maybe.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Listeners come for the information.
Yeah, I'm sure they're here to get all the details.
You've heard of him. I've heard of him. He got divorced in 1984.
Wonderful setup.
His name is James Brolin.
Oh, okay.
Who then married Barbara
Streisand.
Yeah. Many years later.
But you don't know who he might have been married to.
Some lady.
Brolin strikes me as somebody who probably was married to a famous person, because he was famous for a while by 1984.
For sure.
That would be my guess. But Josh Brolin would be that woman's kid, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right?
Because
Josh Brolin must have been born in the mid to late 60s, so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So he divorced some woman named Jane Cameron Aggie in 1984, then married in 1986, Jan Smithers, got divorced in 1985.
Jan Smithers was she was from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah, she was on WKRP.
She played Bailey
right.
Quarters, yeah.
First lady, I don't think was famous at all, but she was indeed James Brolin, Josh Brolin's mother, and he was 16 when they got divorced.
Oh.
So he got divorced in 1984. Let's see who else is on the list. Oh, you've heard of him. I've heard of him.
These are terrible setups.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Same setup over and over. Don't quit the show. I don't mean to criticize.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if her name was Roxanne, but Sting got divorced.
Oh, well, he turned on the red light.
Yeah.
Did Sting never married anybody famous?
Oh, yeah. He's married to somebody, someone right? who I think might just be famous for being Sting's wife.
Oh, is that right?
Like Mrs. Sting?
Lady Sting?
I don't know her name.
I don't know. But yeah. I'm sorry.
She might be someone in her own right. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't. Something like it strikes me that that might be a thing, but I couldn't tell you.
Like his wife's name is known. Okay. By some people, not me, apparently.
Sure. Sting fans. Yeah.
Trudy. Trudy something.
Great.
Trudy
Sting.
Trudy Sting.
Trudy Sumner? What's his last name? His real name is Sumner, right? Gordon Sumner?
Oh. Is that Sting's name? Right? Yeah.
Something like that.
I think she goes by her maiden name.
Oh.
So Sumner's a terrible last
name. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Not a great dude. Apparently also not a great husband.
Oh.
Benjamin Netanyahu. Divorced in 1984.
Okay. I mean, I guess if you get anybody who's getting ever praised by Trump has to have run through a couple women.
Yeah.
So,
he's a terrible right-wing leader, also divorced in 1984.
Bad work, Netanyahu. Yeah.
You know more about this person than I do.
Right.
John Carpenter.
Oh, John Carpenter was divorced in 1984?
Yeah. Reconcinimation, right?
Oh, they love him over at Reconcinimation. Him over there. Yeah. I did Big Trouble in Little China over there as a John Carpenter movie. Yep. Yeah. So... Yeah, he was married to Adrienne Barbeau, who was a movie star. That's who he divorced in 1984.
I apologize for calling her an absolute nobody.
No, Adrienne Barbeau is somebody. She was in, like, Escape from New York and The Thing. Like, she was in John Carpenter movies.
Oh. Does that really count, then?
Was she in The Thing? She was in Escape from New York, and she was in, like, The Fog.
Sure.
Swamp Thing. I think you would know her to see her. Like, she was... She was a famous pretty woman from the 70s and 80s. I don't know how acclaimed she ever was, but I thought maybe they had been together at some point. Kate Jackson, I don't know what her status is.
This was Kate's second marriage. This ex-husband was a New York businessman, so he doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. They only got married in 1982. But she did form her production company, Shoot the Moon Productions, with him, and it produced The Scarecrow and Mrs. King. So she probably got a little something out of it.
Nice deal.
And then they got divorced in 1984.
Did she, did she get remarried? Did she marry Scarecrow?
She did. She married...
Ray Bolger? She married that guy?
She married someone named Tom Peacock.
Oh.
Who also doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Probably works at NBC.
Who isn't even mentioned in her personal life section of her Wikipedia page. So I don't know who he is.
She's keeping her personal life locked down.
Although the rest of it's there. She dated a dermatologist for a while. then she...
This is just stuff that Wikipedia pulled out of People magazine?
She married a guy who owned a ski lodge.
Oh.
But that's not Tom Hart? That's someone different.
Oh.
Her Wikipedia page is confusing in terms of her third marriage. But
you know, it might not be the greatest plan for us to always just be relying on Wikipedia for this sort of information when it's just a random scramble of stuff.
I worry sometimes that we do just read Wikipedia pages on the podcast.
I try to sometimes find other stuff, but when things like this, it's like you just need the facts, right?
Yeah.
But Wikipedia, that's written by monsters just in their basements. Yeah. So
Kate Jackson may or may not have married some people after this.
Well, I hope she's got love in her life.
Okay.
Does that wrap up the divorces?
It does not.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Now I've got to talk about the big stories of 1984.
Oh, now we're cooking.
So those were just the nobody's apologies to John Carpenter's ex-wife.
Adrienne Barbeau is someone. She was on Maud.
Never heard of her. But I do want to talk about three specific divorces that happened in 1984.
Yes.
That have more interesting stories behind them. So, Stevie Nicks got divorced in 1984.
Oh.
She had married a guy named Kim Anderson.
Okay.
Kim Anderson was Stevie Nicks' best friend's husband.
Ooh.
And her best friend died.
Oh.
And then she married her best friend's husband.
Okay.
And they got divorced in 1984. They were only together for a short period of time. They weren't married for very long. And I've seen, like, articles of her talking about this, which is why I thought it was interesting. And it was this idea that, like, they both loved her so much that they got together and got married.
I mean, I guess in some very, you know... peculiar grief-driven way. That makes some sense, but that's probably not the basis for a good relationship.
Right. It's so indicative of people who, like, had feelings and didn't know where to put them, right? And obviously it didn't last, because even when she talks about it, she's like, this was not...
Yeah.
This was clearly not... We were not clear-headed going into this.
But remember... What's his name? Peter Bogdanovich.
Oh, yeah.
Married Dorothy Stratton's sister in sort of the same weird way.
Yeah.
I think almost the same circumstances. I don't remember if they... stayed married. Yeah. They were married a while, I think, though.
Yeah. Isn't it like there's a quote about her on his grave on or something?
Because he's buried next to her.
Yeah.
We saw in L.A. last time we were
and
there.
And the sister was there too, right?
I don't know if she's dead.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's true. I think that was the real question. Is she going to also be buried there? Yeah. I think she's still alive. Because Dorothy Stratton was really young. Mm, and so, mm-hmm. and he was much older than
both of sense.
Them. So, yeah. I think that's true.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I guess there's some track record of this happening, but it is pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Famously tumultuous couple, Carrie Fisher and Paul Simon, got divorced in 1984.
Yeah.
They were only married for 11 months, but they were together on and off for like
for
10
a while,
years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the marriage came somewhere in the middle of that.
I remember when we saw her play, that she did that one woman play, which I can't, Wishful Drinking. But she had mentioned something like this about the Paul Simon relationship, but something just like, you know, what was really great was like, if you can get Paul Simon to write a song about you, do it! I just always remember that as a bit. He had all these Carrie Fisher songs in his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they were together both before they got married and after they got married. Like, I think it spanned and the marriage came somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And then the last couple I wanted to talk about that got divorced in 1984, another person we have seen in person.
Oh, wow.
I wish we'd seen Fleetwood Mac and we would have seen all these people in person, but we haven't seen Fleetwood Mac.
Do they tour?
I don't know.
Most of them are still alive, but not all of them. Yeah.
But yeah. Pierre and Margaret Trudeau got divorced in 1984.
We did see Margaret Trudeau in person, yeah.
So when they got married, he was 47.
Okay.
And she was 18. Oh, God. Which is pretty gross.
God.
Both of them had tons of affairs from what we know.
Yeah.
She got married again 16 days after her divorce was final. So she got remarried.
Yeah.
They got married in 71 and then she had her first kid. But they got married in 1971. They met when she was 18 and he was 47. They got married in 1971 when she was 23.
That's slightly better.
Married until he was older and she had her first kid that same year.
Okay.
So they married in 71, divorced in 84.
That is interesting. There's a couple things to talk about, obviously, with Margaret Trudeau.
Yeah.
One is something that I'm sitting on in the hope that someday we get around to this on the show.
Yeah.
I don't remember what year this was in, but I talked about this not that long ago, is how Justin Trudeau, who's still the current Prime Minister of Canada, had a brother who disappeared in an avalanche and has never been found.
That's crazy.
And I think that's amazing. Because, like, there's nobody famous who just disappears anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a random thing.
Yeah.
That, I realize, does not connect to this in any
way.
Not at all. I want this out there. Someday we're going to talk about that somehow. Because I think that's an incredible story.
Sounds good.
I mean, he's Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
That's like if Barack Obama just had a brother who disappeared. That's insane.
Well, wasn't that essentially Jimmy Carter's brother?
Who, Billy?
Yeah.
Billy never disappeared. Billy was always around.
But he was like, you know, a crazy brother.
Well, Roger Clinton was crazy too. That's not the point isn't that. The point is that this like people don't disappear in the modern day and just disappear. I realize like he's presumed dead
because
it was an avalanche. But what if it wasn't? I just like conspiracies, right?
I mean, you don't find people in an avalanche.
But they should turn up eventually, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, global warming, so just get out there and like, it's got to be. So what if they didn't? What if he just wanted to be away from this crazy madhouse with his mom married to this old man, and Justin Trudeau was clearly destined for greatness, and he's just some guy. I don't even know his name. It's like Dave Trudeau. I don't know, but
what's his brother's name?
He could be hiding out having a great life in the Himalayas or something. He's just kicking it back.
I can tell you,
enjoying everything. He's out there sipping on a Labatt's, just watching hockey night in Canada, living in the Yukon, Churchill, Canada.
Did you know Justin Trudeau was born on Christmas Day, 1971?
No.
Now you do.
What's his brother's name?
I'm working on it.
Well, I got other stuff to talk about here.
Okay, hang on. Michael.
Michael Trudeau.
Michael Trudeau.
Yeah.
1998. This says he died in 1998.
They don't know, though.
Yeah.
So I think it's just that he disappeared at that point. So if we ever wander around to 98, which, what's that, season 9?
Yeah.
I don't know when we're going to get back to the 90s, but it's going to be a while from now.
All right.
So the only other time would be the time when we saw Margaret Trudeau.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Margaret Trudeau. Because
it was the weirdest thing.
It was a really weird thing. So she was kind of doing this one-woman show that didn't really tour. I think they did it in Canada, and then they did it here.
Yeah.
But it was almost like as a tryout. They did it at Second City, which is an odd place to do any kind of play. That's not a play
thing. Decently big theater, but not an enormous
theater. Yeah, I mean, I think it was the main Second City theater.
For sure.
But those theaters aren't that big. It's just mainly for improv.
Yeah.
But it's just a one-man show, but it's not, there's no set, there's no props. She's just kind of standing telling stories.
Yeah.
But when we got there, like, the like staff people were kind of milling around the audience and talking, and Justin Trudeau was there, so it was weird because
but we didn't know he was there.
Right, but like there was like a weird sense of security from that point on. Yeah. Like when he showed up, because he just kind of walks in a couple minutes before the show started. So like the atmosphere was strange already, right? For the former First Lady of Canada's weird one-man show, right? But people were walking around and talking, and this woman came up and was talking to us for a little bit. Just like we were just where we were sitting was the front of a section.
Sort yeah.
And like after a couple minutes, she asked if I wanted to like read. The audience was going to be asking questions, but they were planted questions. It wasn't a Q&A. And they gave me this question to read, which was the last question of the show. So like the whole show, and I was like, sure. But as we're sitting there, the whole, I don't even remember what the show was about, because I just remember kept thinking like, I've got to listen for when this comes up.
Yeah.
And so, and I had to read this question. But that was my weird interaction with Margaret Trudeau moment. She asked me, like, my name. She wanted it to sound more casual than we planted these questions in the audience.
Hello, question number four, man.
Yeah, that was what it was. And I was like, oh, that's me. What's your name? Oh, I'm Joey. And we went from there.
It was so weird.
That was really strange.
But I think the other weird part of that night is, like, it was Mother's Day, but we didn't think Justin Trudeau was going to be there, obviously. He's the freaking Prime Minister of Canada.
Why would you assume he's coming to this show?
So we're sitting there, and we're sitting kind of by, right next to the entrance, like Joe said, and he comes in, and he goes to the left where, like, people were sitting, and, like, she came down, and so they, like, greeted each other, and so we, like, saw them, like, talking to each other, and I go, God, that guy looks like a young Justin Trudeau, and Joe goes, well, those people behind him are his security, so that's definitely Justin Trudeau. We're like, oh my God, and the whole time you're just like, oh, the Prime Minister of Canada is here, he's right there.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It was really strange.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this popped in my head. That was also the same day Peggy Lipton died.
Oh.
Because I often connect, if we were somewhere when I find out somebody died.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were watching Merchant of Venice at the play in town the day Steve Jobs died.
It's just
one of those things is there.
Yeah. I went and got my first iPhone the next day. Not because he died. We had already planned you were all in. To do that.
Yeah, but at that like, point, you were like, yes. Yeah.
So I found out about it on a BlackBerry.
And then I wonderful. Was
like, moving on.
Yeah. So those are the divorces.
Yeah, those are the divorces.
Wonderful. Wonderful stuff.
Yes.
So let's bring it back.
Okay.
So when we talk about the big marriages, because I've got three large-scale marriages.
Large-scale.
That took place in 1984.
Wait, is it the wedding or the importance of the people?
The people. I mean, these are marriages that everybody knows.
Sure.
I would say. We've seen one of these people in person.
All right.
But we won't. So we'll save that.
Okay.
There's suspense.
We'll save that
for the end. But Frances McDormand and Joel Cohen were married in 1984. Yeah. I didn't realize that their marriage predates, like, the entire Cohen brothers thing.
No.
What are the odds of that? Because I don't even know how, like, established as an actress she would have been. I can't think of anything she was in before that, like, before the Cohen brothers stuff.
Yeah. Like, so, Fargo was the first, right?
Like, she popped up in some other things.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's in Raising Arizona. Like, she's in some other movies, but, like, I don't know, you know, but like most people know her from Fargo.
Yeah.
And that's 1996. Like, that's way later. Right. So I didn't realize they were married that long.
You know who I confuse her with?
Hmm.
The woman who played Rose's mother in Titanic.
That's Frances Fisher.
Yes.
Who was, I believe, married to Clint Eastwood at some point.
Oh, right. Because
she's in Unforgiven. I think that's true.
Yeah. Yes.
I could see that. Frances. They're both
named
Frances.
They're both redheads-ish. Why do I picture Frances McDormand as a redhead?
I don't know.
Oh, that's weird.
Maybe she had red hair in something, but I can't picture that.
I'm
she
sorry.
Had dark, she's dark.
You can cut this if you want.
No, you know what? I like it. It brings us back to the Clint Eastwood. You feel lucky. I want you to. I would like you to do a Clint Eastwood. I think you can pull that off.
I don't. I love guns. I don't know.
That was as good a Clint Eastwood as we're gonna get. But yeah, they've been married for 40 years, so I think that's pretty good.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Frances McDormand, who's now won 3 Oscars.
Jesus Christ.
Just crushing it out there. Okay, I think the Coen brothers have only won 2 or something.
She won for Fargo and Nomadland, right?
Yeah, and she won for 3 Billboards.
Oh, I forgot about 3 Billboards.
Pretty close to...
Those are all... She's really good.
She's really out there getting it done.
Yeah. You know what else I like about her? She doesn't wear makeup to award shows.
Sure.
I love that.
I like her award show attitude.
Yes.
In recent years, it's just kind of dismissive.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, I'm just doing
yeah,
whatever.
I'm here.
I'm here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just here to pick up this award. Yeah. Yeah, no, great stuff. The Coen brothers allegedly are getting back together to make movies again.
Oh, that's
because they've
exciting.
Been making single movies for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Joel, I think, directed that Macbeth, where Frances McDormand played Lady Macbeth.
Sure,
and
that makes sense.
I want to say Denzel Washington played Macbeth.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then Ethan has a movie coming out, that Drive-Away Dolls movie that we've been seeing trailers for 6 months, but
that
never
movie
keeps
looks
coming
pretty
out.
Good.
Looks pretty fun. But they're getting back together. So
do you
excited.
Think once your husband's put you in a movie and you win an Oscar for it, when he makes more movies, are you just like, okay, well, who am I going to be?
Right? You would, and really? It's funny how rarely she actually turns up in Coen Brothers movies. They don't reuse tons of people. They reuse some people, but they don't reuse people constantly. So there's something to that.
Maya Rudolph turning up in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie is always amazing.
Yeah.
Because they're
disconcerting and amazing.
Because their tones are so, just like in the tones of his movies, generally speaking, right? Yeah, yeah. Like there's variability, but like, and then who she is as a comedian, like it's so different.
But I think the only times that's happened, she's in Licorice Pizza for like a minute.
Yeah.
And I want to say she was in something else the same way for
Was she in Inherent Vice?
Oh, yeah. I think she's in Inherent Vice for like 2 minutes. Like, she doesn't get parts. Mm-hmm. She just pops up. But it is really strange.
I love when it happens.
Disconcerting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fun. And I'm a big Coen Brothers guy.
Sure.
I like all the Coen Brothers movies. I believe everyone's favorite comic marriage of all time.
Okay.
Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner were married in 1984.
Yeah. Here for it.
Yeah. So I think they had been together at that point for a little while. She was married to G.E. Smith, who was the band leader on Saturday Night Live, for a little while. And he, I believe, had been married before, too. But at this point, like, they had been together for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they were married until she died, which was only 5 years later.
Aww.
But, yeah, so.
So sad.
Yeah. But, I mean everybody, right? Oh. Like, it was such a even, like, I was a kid, and I don't really remember this.
Yeah.
But I think I've said on the show before, like, I thought of Gene Wilder as the greatest movie star ever as a kid because I kept seeing all of those movies.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I was a kid, it was him and Harrison Ford were in everything I saw.
That's hilarious.
It's true. I thought of him. And then, again, I was a huge Saturday Night Live person.
Yeah.
So I also thought of Gilda this way.
Yeah.
Even though her and Gene Wilder only made a couple things together that weren't very popular.
Right.
Haunted Honeymoon, and she has a little part in The Woman in Red, but, like, they didn't make anything great together. They're really a relationship couple, not a movie couple.
Yep.
You know, like a Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie thing where that you have something to point to that was watchable, right?
Yeah.
Haunted Honeymoon sucks. And as a kid, I loved The Woman in Red, but I never thought Gilda's in it so such a little bit that it doesn't really, you know, register. But
Joe made us listen to, this is how I remember, this is probably not how it happened, but that we listened to her audiobook on a road trip once.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember that?
Kind of.
I remember listening.
I read that book, and I think,
And I'm pretty sure we listened to the audiobook, and, like, she reads it.
Yeah.
And the end is, like, hopeful.
Right.
And it's the most devastating thing. I think we were both driving. We were both crying. Yeah. Like, it was just awful.
Yeah, I want to say that that book was written, like, I don't even, like, that was right at the end of her life. But, like, I remember reading the book, and I remember her, like, the end of the book is, like, she thought she was going to get better, or like she was on the upswing a little bit, and that might have been 1988. Like, it was it was right before the end. So
Ugh.
That's a shame.
God.
Yeah. You know, the early Saturday Night Live thing, I think, is this kind of magical, if you went through it in a way, like, I wasn't alive then, but like when I was a kid, like, that Saturday Night Live was still such a glittering, like, amazing thing that, like, I still think of all those people kind of in that way. And so the fact that, like, you know, Belushi died so young, and she died, and these were the best people from that show.
Yeah.
Everybody's great on that show, but they were the best people.
Yeah.
It was such a weird thing
in
those early years. But like, I do wonder, because it's so long ago now, like, I don't even know if it's romanticized or if the original Saturday Night Live is just too long ago for people to connect to anymore, if you're not the right age. Like, I think, like, because I still kind of remember, not the time, but, like, again, Saturday Night Live wasn't that old a show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, this was just, like, there's only three casts or something at that point of any real significance. So I just don't know.
It's so different now than it was then. And I think that we've had some really good recent years.
Oh,
like, I really, like, people who say, like, oh, it's not funny anymore, I don't agree with that at all.
No, I think the show changed a lot. But I'm not somebody of the camp that, like, there's only this pocket of time that's good. I think you can make a case most of the show is good.
Yeah.
I think there's bad years when they got to sort things out. But but it's a show that's evolved a lot. Like, it's nothing like it used to be.
It's
probably for the right reasons.
Yeah,
like, it would be weird if it was still that show.
I think there's something about going from this, like, scrappy, low rent, like, you know, trying stuff, whatever kind of vibe of the first few years to, like, even though now it's still, like, you know, they still have the, like, oh, we stay up all night, right? One show a week, like, it's a lot, right? But it's still, it's a little glittery, right?
Yeah.
Now, in a way that it wasn't back then, obviously, because it couldn't be, right? Now it's got more money, and Lauren's a millionaire, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about that part of it too that has nothing to do with the content of the show, but just like the vibe of it is so different than it used to be.
Right. I mean, I think you look at the early years of that show and the just the type of comedy it was, but like look what else there was. Like there was nothing that. Like that was like hip young comedy for the time, and they did crazy comedy, like really experimental strange stuff.
Yeah.
And that then I think when people come out on the show now and you see people trying stuff like that, people always lament that they don't do this, but then you see when they've had like the early Andy Samberg stuff or like Kyle Mooney's stuff or Pete Davidson's stuff was all so strange and so different that people would kind of be like, oh, this kind of sucks. And but like, but that's actually the essence of the show if you want to really take it all the way back. So
and like what the other thing that I think is impressive about that first cast is like the stuff they did was strange at the time, but it endures. Like
holds up pretty good.
The land shark is still hilarious. And like the samurai, whatever. But the sketch that Gilda did with Steve Martin where they were dancing is like the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's
the greatest thing.
And it's just, there's no dialogue. It's just a great,
it's the
like,
greatest thing I've ever seen.
No, I mean, that was a show that really, you know, it does really hold up. Like, you know, they leaned a lot on recurring characters and a lot of catchphrases, which would continue for a long time.
Sure.
But, you know, you still had this kind of weird edge, and they would do really out there things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that growing up with that as, like, the classic Saturday Night Live, but it was still, like, for me, was the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it, you know, I think it then took on this kind of aura around it.
Yeah.
Whether it really deserves it or not, but I, you know.
So then Gilda and Gene Wilder were basically Camelot for you.
Basically. That was Camelot for me.
Yeah.
That was as good as it got. But the couple who got married and who we've seen one of them, but we're there for both of them.
What?
We saw Christopher Guest in person.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Jamie Lee Curtis got married in 1984.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she was there, but we
couldn't. She was there, but we couldn't see her. Yeah. So we went to like a Q&A at the Music Box. And I don't think they even... was there a movie connected to that?
I was just trying to think of that.
I don't
think
so. Like, it was like not maybe 10 years ago. Not even 10 years ago. Yeah. But I don't think they were showing anything. I think it was like the Music Box creates kind of like half-assed comedy awards. That's actually how we saw Harold Ramis, too.
Yeah.
But they showed that terrible
year one
movie.
Yeah.
But I think it was the same thing. Like they were giving out some sort of weird award. And they did this Q&A with Christopher Guest. And, you know, they talked about Princess Bride. And they talked about like... National Lampoon and stuff like that. But Jamie Lee Curtis was in the audience somewhere because they kept asking him, the interviewer was asking him questions about like, why have you never worked with your wife? Because she's never been in any of that stuff. And he kept kind of deflecting it, but not for any, he wasn't like, not like, he didn't seem uncomfortable. I think he just didn't want to talk about it. Like, I don't know, it just didn't come up. And then they kept bringing it up. And at one point, like Jamie Lee Curtis just laughed, like because it was so weird, and I think it was because Christopher Guest, oh, we're still on this or something, like we're still talking about this. So it was just some random thing.
And I remember us being like, "Wait, is she here?"
Yeah, it was so out of place. Like, I don't remember if he pointed her out or not.
I feel like when he like pointed in the direction, it was like on the other side of the theater.
It was the other side of the theater.
Like, no.
Yeah, we couldn't see it.
Yeah,
but they're still going at it 40 years later.
Good for
Jamie Lee Curtis just won an Oscar last year, and you know, and Chris Guest is a legend.
Yes.
We've also seen his brother in person, the great Nicholas Guest.
Yeah, who was most known for Christmas Vacation.
He played Todd in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And we saw him on Broadway in Network, I want to say. He was one of the actors in the movie. But yeah, so that's the enduring great marriages.
Yes.
Well, those are, well, they're still married, and what's her name? Bette Midler's still married.
Yeah.
Got that going for us.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Talking about love.
We're here talking about love.
Talking about love. Boots, we made it through.
Oof, can you believe it? Well, I guess we got like a minute left. Let's get into some so you know what? Maybe I should wash the dishes some more. let's start to drum up some fights. Look at the counter and it's covered in bottles. Look what you've done.
Okay.
So Sarah's here making homemade margaritas. I was like, you could just buy mix. She's like, no, I can make them from homemade. And the counter's covered in bottles.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. We don't drink a lot of margaritas. We don't drink a lot of tequila. So I was trying to clear out some of what we had. So
oh,
I'm
that's
drinking
just old stuff.
The bottom of bottles.
Yeah, that bottle of Triple Sec looks like that's from 1998.
I don't think it's that old, really. But
who's drinking Triple Sec?
I don't remember what we needed it for. So so that was that's my contribution to the household.
Oh.
You know, we're always trying to clean stuff out.
Trying to
we're
finish
always
stuff.
Trying to get rid of stuff that we don't need. And so I'm cleaning out the tequila tonight.
All right. So what problems do you have with me as a person?
Oh, none. You're perfect.
We're trying to mix it up for the listeners.
Oh, sorry. You keep making me do this stupid show.
Oh, my God.
No, I love doing this show.
Oh, I'm glad we got through this one. Because it was pretty touch and go
I'm for sorry. A while. I was so grumpy last time.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that was the reason we didn't record the show for a while. But that was last thing we tried to record for a while. And, like, after that, it was just tense.
We took a nice break.
Yeah, you know, it was Christmas time anyway. And I think we've had other episodes come out since where we kind of talk about that gap. But I think that's actually what was going on there through December.
Listeners, let me know if you noticed during the show when I was like, and I didn't because I was trying to modulate my volume.
That's the other thing I have found, though, is if I try to tell Sarah that she's like a little too loud. Every once in a while, like, we're like in bed and she's next to me. My ear is right there. And she'll just be shouting. And I'll be like, it's right here. But then Sarah won't take this as good criticism. She'll be like, what? That doesn't help either.
Okay,
because you're kind of a jerk about it. Why? It's right there.
Okay, I have never thought of myself as a loud person, and no one's ever said that about me. But the other day, I was talking and I felt very loud, and so I asked you, "Am I a loud person?" And you were like, "Absolutely," and it blew my mind.
I mean, I think it's a lot of times coming out of a work day. Mm-hmm. You've been on meetings and, like, I think talking on the computer, everybody's always a little louder than they need to be. But you are so, like, talking, and then you come out and you're still the same because you've been yelling at, and we'll just bleep this out, the whole time. And then I'm like, oh my God, like, why are you yelling? Like, I'm right here, just talk at a regular volume. And then you get all, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, fair. Okay,
no, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I was looking at the chart a lot while we were recording that one, and I was like, wow, this is really loud. I shouldn't have mentioned it. It would have been fine.
No, you can mention it.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
You're doing great. You are more than pulling your weight on this nonsense
show. Thank you. Yeah. I do my best.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Oh. Love episode.
Love episode.
All right. Is it time for cuddles?
Schmuggle o'clock.
I guess we're done with this. It's Schmuggle o'clock. We should cut this.
Yeah, cut that.
This is getting gross. All right. Get in here for some smooches.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, everybody. I hope people think there's actual smooches going on.
This has been It Happened 1 Year. Please, enjoy your social media and maybe take a look at us. We're there, too. Give us a rating. Say hi.